All right, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Andromeda from Somerville, Massachusetts.
Andromeda?
Whoa.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite galaxies. That's a great name. Is that your real name?
Technically, yes.
Technically.
It's not what I started out with.
And how did you come by that name?
It's a long story.
We got nothing but time.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Andromeda. It's nice to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Carl, what is Andromeda's topic?
The gift that keeps on taking.
It's a season of giving. Of course, everyone is feeling generous. Yet, despite our best intentions, sometimes a gift can bring with it some complications. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories about presents that weren't ready right out of the box. Only one of them is true. Choose that true story. You'll win Carl's voice in your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yes, I am.
First, let's hear from Charlie Pierce.
Seeking to help his hometown library capitalize on the runaway success of local author Dan Brown, archaeologist Walter Wendell sent to the Exeter County Library in Exeter, New Hampshire, an authentic papyrus page from the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, a central pivot of Brown's famous Da Vinci Code. Unfortunately, upon arrival, the curators were horrified when opening the package, the words began to fade on contact with direct sunlight. Desperate to display their new treasure, the curators negotiated the lease of a surplus F-4 fighter jet from nearby Pease Air Force Base, and they are now displaying the page in the cockpit under the tinted canopy. People climb onto the wings and view the ancient scripture out in the parking lot, reading the words of the ancient Gnostics through a piece of plastic that says, "Property of the United States Air Force." The Gnostics probably didn't have a fighter jet in mind, said Wendy Peshtigo, one of the curators. They were pretty earthbound guys.
A manuscript that has to be displayed for its own safety in the cockpit of a fighter plane. Your next story of the not-quite-perfect gift comes from Roy Blunt, Jr.
I'm not going to tell you the story until you tell me the story of how you got your name.
I'm not going to tell that story.
And then I get to decide whether it's true or not. Let's get down to business here. Jocelyn Wofford of Tampa was turning 40, and she was laid off from her guidance counselor job and laid up with a broken leg. And her husband, Travis, insisted he had to leave town on business. To make up for it, he lined up surprise presents, a home visit massage, and membership in the Fruit of the Month Club. So when the masseur arrived, the delivery guy was waiting with a box of pears. When Jocelyn hobbled to the door, there were smashed pears everywhere, and the guys were wrestling on the ground. Turned out, small world, they were both seeing the same local woman. Jocelyn's counseling instincts came out. She brought the guys in to talk things through, which they did. And the massage guy admitted that the fruit guy was probably right for the girl. So they invited her over. And they all sang happy birthday to Jocelyn and drank some wine and had massages and ate the rest of the pears and stayed the night. And there was more fruit in the truck, so they stayed another night. And Jocelyn and the massage guy decided that they were right for each other. And they were all four crying. They were so happy. And that's when Travis came home. All this came out in divorce court this week. If only I had given her just the massage or just the fruit, said Travis.
A birthday present in Tampa causes some complications. Your last story of a present that presented problems comes from Amy Dickinson.
When the police department in Helena, Montana first got Mikey, their bomb-sniffing dog, as a gift from Israel, they thought the dog was depressed. He was uncooperative. He wouldn't sniff or schmooze with his handler, Officer John Foskett. Basically, Mikey did bupkis. Well, turns out that the dog, Mikey, could only understand commands in Hebrew. So the cop got Hebrew language tapes. He tried flashcards. Maybe he even tried out some Yiddish phrases that he picked up from Rhoda. But nothing worked. The officer was verklempt. Well, they are three Jews short of a minion in Montana, but fortunately, one of them is a Hasidic rabbi, Chaim Brook. And the rabbi is dealing with this mishigas by helping a Montana cop talk Hebrew to his dog. And now, no more plotzing. Mikey has started sniffing again. He really is a kelev tov, which means good dog in Hebrew.
All right. Here are your stories from Charlie Pierce, a manuscript which for its own safety has to be displayed inside a fighter cockpit. From Roy Blunt Jr., well, let's just say a complicated story of a birthday present in Tampa, Florida. And your last story of a present came from Amy Dickinson. It was the bomb-sniffing dog in Montana that could only speak Hebrew. Which of these was the real story in the week's news?
How about the Hebrew dog?
The Hebrew dog. That's the one that calls out to you?
Arf.
They're liking it here. All right, your choice then is Amy's story of the Hebrew-speaking dog. Well, we actually spoke to the person who received this gift.
With the assistance of Rabbi Chaim, I was able to learn a few Hebrew commands. Arsa, which means sit. Haisher, which means stay. And ma, which means what.
That was Mikey's handler, Sergeant John Foskett of the Helena, Montana Police Department, talking about the Hebrew he has learned to communicate with his bomb-sniffing dog. Congratulations, Andromeda.
Thank you.
You got it right. You're into point for Amy Dickinson. You've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your home answering machine. Thank you so much for playing with us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.